we don't get all, through all the questions, we will have an extended Q&A after that talk. I can announce Wi-Fi cable now. She is part of the core group of the Hexen, who are taking care of the cyberstalking projects at the Hexen, and I'm looking forward to the talk now.
Hi, I'm Wi-Fi Cable. I'm one of the members of the anti-stalking project, and I would like to introduce the anti-stalking project as part. And just as beginning, this can be a triggering digital violence. Please consider turn it off the stream now in case you feel don't feel well, and you can find the recording later on. To beginning, I would like to talk about who the Hexen are. Hexen are CCC-related hackers, define themselves as female, inter, non-binary, and we are about 400 members, 500 members across the German-speaking area. We have various workshops like Python workshops, IT security, and podcast, and the anti-stalking project, which is one of them. First of all, the agenda. I would like to go into the topic of what is stalking. When we talk about cyberstalking, it is interesting to define stalking in the first place. We would like to talk about the technical aspects of stalking. And I would like to talk about the targets of the project, the technical help and self-help. And I would also like to talk about the project itself, the execution, meetings, technology, participants. We'll also go down into the website concepts. And since we're online since December, we have the first round of feedbacks received, and we have contacts to public help domains. And a little bit of miscellaneous topics will also be discussed, and how you can help yourselves. First, would I talk about stalking itself? We talk about stalking if one person makes clear that that person is not interested in being in contact with a particular individual, and makes it clear that that person does not want to be in contact with that other person again. Can be harassment, harassment and threatening. That is the but more or less the legal definition. What is harassment? That is, for instance, the person that explains that the person does not want to be contacted is still being called or receives unwanted gifts. And the pestering means there's a lot of collection of information and chasing the person and all physical chase after the victim. And what are the consequences of being stalked? They are similar to the problems of bullying. I like to take that example because a lot of people in the chaos environment have experience with bullying and can empathize with being bullied. And with that stress and fear, there's also the physical violence that is potentially involved. That leads to a feeling of being threatened, to panic attacks, insomnia, and they withdraw from all social contacts in order to avoid the aggressor. Those are a lot of severe consequences, and we can consider therefore stalking as a form of violence. But who is affected by stalking? A police statistic who press charges are majorly female, but also the police reports every gender, every age, every society class is affected by or can be affected by stalking. This is important to mention. There's a lot of people feel culpable themselves for being stalked. And who are the stalkers, people executing stalking? We have to admit that the majority is male, former partners. And who want to control the entirety of the social interaction of the individual. It often happens after a relationship, but it can also be initiated by coworkers. For instance, somebody who fell in love very severely and who does not respect the barriers. It can also happen between related people who are related within families. For instance, parents are stalking their kids. Also famous people who are like in the spotlight, who are followed by fans. I'm trying to express a gender-neutral viewpoint on the person who executes stalking, but the majority are male. Even though we talked about the legal aspects, we also want to talk about the technical aspects. The stalker needs information on the victim. For instance, they go through the trash can, look for addresses, letters, or sometimes they ask neighbors, friends, families, authorities, doctors have been contacted with the idea to stalk the victim. But nowadays everybody has a mobile phone, and it's so much easier to figure out who the victim is in contact with through that phone or through social media, because a lot of people provide information voluntarily over social media. With the technical capabilities of the smartphone, the information is available on where the person is. That small computer is always online. It has a small SDK available, and a lot of people can develop programs for that little computer. Overall, that's a great idea. The concept of the smartphone is great, and you're developing apps that facilitate your life is great. But I wish there was never somebody around who develops an app to facilitate stalking. And I tried to find an app that allows stalking, and it was shockingly easy. I didn't have to go to the dark web to get it or some weird app store. I just had to do a very simple Google search to find a list of the best 10 apps to stalk. For instance, check out if your partner is cheating on you, and there are apps where you can check on all the text messages, photos. Some even offer a web graphical user interface where you can see the GPS data in real time on a map. These apps are very easy to install. You can find apps that give you even a dashboard with all the data they collect, give you statistics on call logs, on browser logs, and that helps a stalker to figure out on what websites the victim was visiting. And some even offer a phone support for the app to assist in setting up that stalking app. And with a free trial version where you can install the app and try before buy-in, even without rooting the device. I'm not sure what's possible with a non-rooted device, but some apps claim they can offer these services. They even offer to activate the microphone and the camera at all times. And I think that's very scary to see. To activate a keylogger remotely. And the more I was browsing these websites, the scarier it got. So on these websites, it's like a natural thing to stalk somebody else. It's like your right to spy on a victim. And after looking into this topic in more detail, I could find another part of features that have been that are being abused for this purpose. I'm not sure if it's if these features that are like off-the-shelf features on the phones, on the from the clouds, with this shared access to those clouds, you can access all the personal data straight away, and you have even features that are designed to share data within a particular group, like the family. Sharing apps, sharing cloud access, sharing the location of another person. All these features have a good intent, but they can be abused. This information can be abused for the easiest way is to enter your partner as a minor, and that allows you to get a vast level of control features. You can restrict the screen time of your kid, in that case the adult, the victim, and you can see, or the attacker can see the stored passwords on these through those features. And sometimes I have the impression the developers were a bit careless when they were designing those features. And they didn't really look at the reality of things, because a lot of adults have other have their partner setting up the phone, for instance, which allows them to backdoor these accesses and abuse those features without the victim knowing about that in the first place. I found a few apps that were surprisingly good in helping stalkers chasing the victim. For the Find My Device, which is designed to find your stolen device, but the problem is a food delivery app that has been shared, and the pizza is being delivered to a new address. And if that's like the women's shelter, for instance, that's a bad idea for the stalker to help locate the victim. And another example is a parking app. And sometimes you have apps that can help you finding back your car after you park. And some apps mark the location of your car to help you navigate back to your car, which is sounds handy at first. Even also sharing makes sense if you can share the location of the car with somebody else. But in other circumstances, it can be very easy to locate the victim through this app. Other apps are apps that are designed to protect your kids. App that offer to build like a virtual cage where you can know as soon as your kid leaves a certain area to alert you. If that is getting abused, you can locate or the partner can be located throughout apps and alerts and geofencing, which is not a good idea, which is dangerous. And the Hexen here believe it is a big problem in the areas of stalking, and we understand with all these available tools, we need to do something. We know there are a lot of centers to help you, people with victims of domestic violence, but a lot of these centers lack a technical skill. They have the idea of security by obscurity. They assume if they don't publish the address of the center of the shelter, they believe they can't be located, and they just advice to stop using mobile phone and use the landline phone on that place. But a lot of victims don't understand what they can do. They understand they can go to a shelter and hide themselves, but if they have a problem with their phone, they don't understand what they can do with their phone to protect themselves. They don't get help at the support centers. They don't know what to Google. Sometimes they get a manual in an English language and are advised to change their password to a secure password, but they don't necessarily understand what is a secure password. And that is another problem. We from the anti-stalking project, we set off with the question: what are we able to deliver? What can we? How can we support? What is our limit? And something we need for sure is a wider understanding for the social problem, because without this understanding, you will not be able to solve that problem. Another thing we definitely need is technical support. More concretely speaking, first level support for mobile phones. Other thing that helps is German speaking manuals. The best manual in the world is not helpful if nobody can understand it. So it needs to be in a simple language. And they need an entry point to the manual. They can find a multitude of manuals, but they don't necessarily know what manual they need. And what we can do is what could we do? One thing was simple idea of building a website and collecting the right manuals. We also thought about creating a list of links. And if a victim has no idea where to start, a list of links, a collection of links, may not really help them to get started. But we can offer first level support in our free time. But it's very time and energy intensive for the Hexen who are delivering that support. I would like to talk more about the execution. The idea was originally to have a workshop with a handful of meetings, but it turned out there's a lot more needed than just a little bit of a podcast or whatever. So we made several meetings and longer meetings. And one member of the Hexen called Princess was already in women's shelters and gave talks there, but after few more internal discussions, we decided to have more regular meetings and how can we improve this. And at the beginning, we had a bi-weekly Jitsi conference with a pet, and eventually the pet exploded and we turned it into an internal wiki. And we figured out that a simple HTML website is not necessarily the most contemporary solution, so we figured out a web platform with a content management system. Obviously, we also have an internal mailing list, but it turned out it would make more sense to have also like a monitored inbox where people can reach the team. We are still meeting on a bi-weekly basis, and we are continuing to work on that project. But after I talked about the why and the what, now I would like to talk about the how. So we have the landing page where the user sees like who we are, what we can and what we can't do. There's not possible for us, for instance, to walk the local women's shelter and check out all the phones on a weekly basis, but we are unable to deliver that kind of support. We are also unable to deliver legal support. And now we are also unable to assist securing evidence similar to what the police would do we are not able to collect this evidence and to freeze the evidence on that level. That doesn't work on the in the internet as a place of crime, as the internet. That is not possible for us to take over the job of the police at this stage. Another offering on our website is we assist people to triage the problem and help them to ask the right questions and getting the right manuals into their hand for their particular problem. And we have something like an emergency exit button, and I'm going to show that later on. But first, I show you the website. That's what the website looks like now. You can see it's like the same color coding as the slides here, and it doesn't look like a dry, boring manual, because we try to not scare the victims any further. And you can see the entry questions here. And you can see who we are on the website. And you can see the red exclamation mark on the side. That's our emergency exit button. And when you click on that, and you end up at a casual website, and we did that because we believe that some of the visitors might be in a situation where they still live with the predator, and they don't want the predator to see that the victim is on the website there, and therefore we want to give them an option to hide the website again. And yeah, the IP address of somebody who executes that button is also blocked from the website. So if you go to the back button, the website will not load. So if the victim is forced to reload the website, it wouldn't work. And we got a lot of positive feedback here.
We've had a lot of feedback here. There are a lot of people that are very happy that we've done this. And a lot of people who are supporters of the women are also happy we've done it. And we're trying to find the best way to connect people. We have lots of emails from the people who were affected by this. From the emails, we've learned that's very important to ask the people, what would you like? So which ones, it's important to ask the people. And we've read through all of the emails. Everyone is very empathetic. There are lots of possibilities. We could ask for either ask for punishment from the police, or we could have a technical support, so we could go directly to the smartphone to deinstall it. We also have to know that just because we have the evidence that something was on the phone doesn't mean that it will be punished in terms of the police or legal consequences. There are about 10% of the stalking cases do have legal consequences from that. Therefore, you also can't say with 100% certainty that just because something's on the phone that it is connected with a certain person. So, therefore, a lot of people who are affected by stalking still hold on to their cell phone because they don't have a second one. And there are many steps you can take to go through to secure it. You can change the password. You can make sure your location is not being shown. Secure all the data. You can reset your cell phone. That is, in a lot of cases, enough to calm the situation. When we are resetting things, you have to be careful that the password is not saved somewhere else as well. In general, to reset the cell phone is important. Here's more detail of what we've learned from the first level support. With the people affected, there's a need to speak with them because they're not doing well with the situation. In a lot of cases, they want immediate help with the phone. Sometimes they might expect something like a Hollywood hacker that everything is done immediately. Unfortunately, that doesn't really work. Some of the affected people, that they don't understand the technical details of the cell phone, they might have they might think that the being stalked because the battery is being depleted too quickly on the cell phone, but sometimes it's just because there are certain apps that are doing it instead. Or it could be that the cell phone is just too old, and there could be lots of other technical defects with the phone before you make the assumption about stalking behind it. As already mentioned, we have emails and then there are links to information. There are people that have a lot of fear towards these technical problems. They have a bigger feeling that they're being followed and stalked. I'll give an example. A person might have the fear that they're being followed by aliens. And then if you reset the password, you can give the feeling that, okay, at least the other people don't have the password. But this is not really a technical problem. This is something else that needs to be dealt with. And following this, we have next steps. What's really important is that the website is visited and we're putting up more information on it. And we're also working with women's homes and working with people in analog life as well. We're also working on stickers because lots of people do love stickers in real life. And then hopefully we can spread the message and make it more known. We hope to have this website available in other languages in the future. Lots of people don't have German as a native language here, so if it's Russian, Ukrainian, Polish, for example, could also be helpful. What we also could do is to edit the technical contents. So if there's a new version of iOS or Android, then we could there could be a different presentation of how to change the location information, for example. Though there's no, there's new, in every case of updates, there's new failure points. And then we need to edit this and formulate things differently. And then we want to give support through email. We're also planning in the future more presentations in the homes as well as in schools. And then it could be more known. We are not the only people who are doing something against this. Some people know already how bad the problem is, and there is a need to do something against it. Of course, we don't do everything. If you are interested, of course, there is a possibility to do something. If there's something about the website you can improve, you can inform about it. You can always write to us if you see something that we can improve. What's needed is awareness that there is a problem with this, with stalking, and we need to talk about it. When people have energy to help, then there's we need people who are actually supporters in real life to deal with the smartphones. Once you're able to download and install a virus scanner, that's already enough to help someone. Many people who are affected by this are very happy to find someone who can help them. Another thing is to donate. Most of women's homes and all people who are affected by this stalking do need the financial support. If you can do this, then it is a good thing to support them. And of course, we need support from computer scientists to develop apps. You can think yourself how much data you have gathered through websites, through your apps. Think about what happens if this data actually gets into the wrong hands. And also talk to other computer scientists about how to handle data. So awareness definitely helps. And I will be very thankful if you spread awareness about this topic to other people. I will thank you now for your attention. And we have some time now for some questions or some Q&A.
Vielen herzlichen Dank an dich, Wi-Fi Cable, für deine Einführung in das Thema und auch an sich natürlich an eure ganze Gruppe für die großartige Arbeit, die ihr geleistet habt. Das ist, denke alle Zuschauenden können zustimmen, dass es sehr wichtig ist, Awareness für dieses Thema zu schaffen und dazu aufzuklären.
And now it's time for your question under hashtag Firesharks on Twitter or under IRC on media.ccc or YouTube or Twitch. But first, I have a question to you, Wi-Fi Cable. You have an impressive amount of manuals and texts on your website. What were the challenges when you were writing these instructions? Maybe you can share some experience.
The biggest challenge was, once you already know computer science, how do you describe this in a very, very simple way? We have always asked people who aren't computer scientists, could you please look it over for us? Can you understand it? And we also need to make sure the text isn't too long. It could be that it takes a half an hour to read through something. And it's also a challenge to both write it and also read through it to proofread it. We also We also have to make sure that the gender does speak to everyone and we're speaking in a neutral manner in the text.
So that means you probably need support, I can imagine, to read over it, to correct it. And that was also the question some viewers were raising. What could we do as technical affin or researchers? What can every individual do to support you to advance the topic in general?
There are many different things that are mentioned in the talk. Moment. So you can help with many different things. One is if you look at the website and then if you see something wrong with it, then you can report. So if a link is broken, you can report it. Or you could check if something's out of date. So if something doesn't make sense with the version of iOS or Android, for example. What else that's very helpful is that financial support to the shelters, and it's not just financial support but also material support. So for instance, you could donate your old cell phones to the shelters. When you develop apps yourself, you can think about the abuse potential and what data you are actually collecting. Think about what happens if the data then gets into the wrong hands. What happens if there's a situation of domestic violence? And what happens if one person has a lot of information about the other one? Also, awareness does help. It helps unbelievably. Then you can explain to other people that it's actually a problem.
Yeah, you can take a look at the website and contact you over your email address to report problems or otherwise contact you. And also, as you mentioned, if you have the if you have the option, you can people can connect to the local Shelton local help organizations, and they can need every support they can get. The question already asked is one that already came in now over social media, but maybe you have mentioned a lot of the sad truths of affected people, but can you think of anything positive?
I was positively surprised by the reaction of the hacker community. There a lot of times there are assumptions that hackers do bad things, but actually there are a lot of people who do the opposite of that. They are doing things. What I find very nice is this positive feedback from people, especially from two counselors who directly said, this work you're doing is really helpful. I was happy to hear that.
Yeah, I can imagine that. It's beautiful to hear positive feedback from people who are actually working with that project, and that the project is well received, and also the counselors believe they here want to have more direct support for their clients, but maybe there's more more technical support. Is there more demand for that?
There's always examples of this. For example, TeamViewer, there's remote access through TeamViewer. So you do write something about how to recognize when a TeamViewer session is active.
And there's another question. What is the feedback to your work? And you also mentioned some supportive experience, but were there also negative experiences, feedback?
There's not a lot of feedback. Sometimes we accumulate spam, and that's normal.
Bisher hat sich davon scheinbar noch niemand sehr auf die Füße getreten gefühlt, was ich sehr angenehm finde. Und ich bin mal gespannt,
there's
ob das so
no one who's been offended by this, and I hope it stays so.
Auf jeden Fall, weil ihr habt ja so schon yeah, I hope that too. You have enough work to do. You don't have to deal with the emotional load of these attacks.
I also have to say, I was surprised that people who contacted us, people who don't have necessarily technical problems, but they have a lot of anxiety. And there's this anxiety also about their technical understanding. And I was surprised that it has so much of a connection with the feelings of anxiety.
So you are under the impression there should be counseling an area where other problems would be.
So actually there already is this available, but people might not want to go there. How can I formulate this fairly? Sometimes people want to confirm that something is happening to them and that they're being followed or stalked.
I can see that it's not easy to deal with being prosecuted. How do you deal with that in the team internally?
We speak together in the team. We will take people seriously, regardless of the problem. We can also make sure there's not a technical problem there. And
yeah. But for yourself, on how you deal with the mental load of this support of your work, do you have any ideas there?
For me, it helps with people in the project to speak with other people who are working on the project.
Maybe one more question. If you look into the future of the project, how do you see that the project developing? How is it evolving? Do you have like a utopia, a perfect scenario where you have like all the people power you'd need? What can you think there?
When we all had the time to, we would do more workshops, especially in the German language. We would make sure that there would be Raspberry Pis for everyone who could analyze the traffic of the cell phones and see if the data is being forwarded to a server, and then we could see the data volume of the apps. It would be really nice if we could help people directly. We just try to help the people who are emailing us.
And maybe other can make some room in them, their plans for themselves. Another question coming in: How do you take care of yourself? And can you like the viewers are also concerned about that? So maybe you can share a little bit more about that.
So it's not always easy. We don't have a perfect solution for that. Sometimes working with our hands, like knitting, would help. And then we could meet people after work with other women. And that helps. Another important thing is internally, this is voluntary work, so you shouldn't feel guilty if you're not doing as much as you want to. It's important to realize that.
So take care of a good atmosphere and take care of each other and make sure people are not being overworked, even though where their heart is into it. But they shouldn't put in the whole energy of their lives into that topic. All right. And maybe you would like to add something, or want to raise questions people should be more aware of.
I think more people should think about where they're leaving their data and how much of it they are leaving places, and then look at all of the data on a website and other apps. And also pay attention about the pins and your passwords on your devices. Also, I would advise people concern yourself on a fundamental level about technical things. So then it could be a problem if you're then dependent on other people. You have to then trust someone else. So trust yourself first to understand the technology. And then once you, you should try yourself. And then once you don't make progress, then you can ask someone else. Try not to be dependent on other people to do it.
That is great final words on that. On that topic, thank you very much, Wi-Fi Cable. Thank you so much for those insights, for taking the time, and